So I want to think of those verses that Joel has read for us from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. I think in these verses there's much that is there to amaze us. There are many things that amaze us at this time of the year. It's amazing how much money people can spend. It's amazing how much we can eat, particularly on Christmas Day. It's amazing when you have so much fuss and it's over in one day. There are many things that amaze us about the Christmas season. But you know, when I think of those verses that Joel has read for us, there's much in those verses that amaze us in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. The providence of God, how that amazes us. Did you notice that Caesar Augustus made this decree that all the world should be taxed? And you know, he was the most powerful man in the world at that time. Indeed, some people even called him the savior of the world. You know, the Roman emperors were very much viewed as deities. They were viewed as gods. And you know, he was the main man, as it was. He made this decree, and because of that decree, a young couple had to travel 90 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Little did Caesar Augustus know that even though he was the most powerful man in the world, even though there were those who called him the savior of the world, he was really just being used by the God of heaven, to fulfill his will. You see, some 600 years previously, Daniel the prophet was told, indeed, that one day there would be a Roman Empire. Some 700 years before this, Micah the prophet said that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would be born in Bethlehem. Little did Caesar Augustus know that God was using him just to fulfill his will, that Jesus Christ would be born in Bethlehem. Remember what the word of God said: when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. You see, at God's perfect time, Christ was born. All Caesar was a pawn in the hand of God. You know what that reminds us? That reminds us that God is in control. Perhaps you're concerned. Perhaps you're worried about the future. Perhaps you're concerned about this pandemic. You're wondering what's going to happen. You know, with the hymn writer, we can say, my times are in thy hands. My God, I wish them there. My life, my friends, my soul I leave entirely to his care. Isn't the providence of God amazing? Amazing was the providence of God. Amazing was this pregnancy. Did you notice again that Joel read that they were to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child? My, that's amazing. You know, no doubt there were many ladies living in Nazareth and indeed in Israel in those days who were great with child. There were many, no doubt, who were expecting children. But there was something special about this little baby. You see, Isaiah the prophet told us, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear his son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Remember what Mary was told, how indeed that she would give birth, and that which is conceived would be of the Holy Ghost. This was no ordinary birth. This was no ordinary conception. This child was born of a virgin. It had to be like that. You see, this book tells us that man is a sinner. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And you know, Jesus Christ couldn't be born of an earthly father. If that was the case, he would have been a sinner, and he couldn't be our Savior. But as Paul reminds us, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When you consider the virgin birth, without the virgin birth, Calvary would have been a waste of time. But you know, the virgin birth makes sense of Calvary. And because that Jesus Christ was the sinless, spotless, crimeless, stainless Son of the living God, he was able to go to Calvary, and there he could be my Savior and he can be your Savior. Isn't it amazing when we think of the providence of God? Isn't it amazing when we think of the pregnancy of Mary? Isn't it amazing when we think of the poverty around this little baby? You know, the angel said, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. We're told in another scripture, he was born King of the Jews. And yes, this is what we read in our verses this afternoon. And so it was while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloth, and laid him in a manger. Here is the one who was born King of the Jews. Here is the one who shall be called great, who shall be the Son of the Highest. And yet we find him born in a manger. Born in a feeding trough. What poverty. What poverty for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Isn't this amazing? Isn't it amazing? You know, if the Lord Jesus Christ had been born in a palace, we would maybe feel he was unapproachable. We would maybe feel he was out of reach. We would maybe feel he wouldn't understand our needs and our concerns. But you know, he was born in a lowly manger, born into a poor family, just like any other little baby. In those days, they just wrapped them in swaddling bands to protect the child, to save the child from any harm. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as far as it goes, was just brought up like a normal baby and born into poverty. You know, it's a little picture of what was going to happen. Just like Mary brought forth her firstborn son, God the Father loved us so much that he sent his son into the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what Paul said? For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, how rich he was in glory, how rich he was in heaven. My, he was equal with God, and yet he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He made himself no reputation. For your sakes, he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. And what poverty he suffered when he hung on that cross, naked, hanging in open shame, as he bore your sin and my sin and his own body on the tree. Down from his glory, ever living story, my God and Savior came, and Jesus was his name, born in a manger to his own a stranger, a man of sorrows, tears, and agony. Oh, how I love him. How I adore him. How amazing this afternoon when we think of the providence of God. God worked this all out. How amazing when you think of the pregnancy of Mary, Jesus Christ born of a virgin. How amazing when you think of the poverty around this little baby. Here was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, born in a manger, born in a feeding trough. God was manifest in flesh that he might be your Savior. But here's the most amazing thing, I believe, as we read these verses. You see, it says in verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger. And here's the thing, there was no room for them in the inn. No room for Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing? The one who was born King of the Jews, they had no room for him. Here he was born in this manger because there was no room anywhere else. You know, isn't it just what society is like today? There is no room for Jesus Christ. Have you room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin. As he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in? Have you any room for Jesus? Here's the amazing thing. God loved us so much, he sent his son into the world. Jesus Christ came and was born in poverty in a manger. He lived a sinless, spotless life. He went to Calvary and died a cruel, horrible, hateful, hellish death that he might be your Savior. And yet here's the amazing thing. You have no room for him. In spite of all that he has done for you, you have no room for Jesus Christ, the old innkeeper, whoever it happened to be. That night when he opened the door, he had a decision to make, and the decision said no room. Listen, Jesus Christ would never, ever stand at that door again. And here's the danger here in Christmas 2020, as he asks admission, as he knocks your heart's door. He may not knock again. He may not knock tomorrow. If he's knocking at your heart's door, will you open your heart's door? Indeed, you could be opening heaven's door. Scripture says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. You have a decision here to make here at this carol service this afternoon. Jesus Christ may never knock at your heart's door again. Here's an amazing thing. The one who came into this world to die for you, the one who loved you so much, he shed his precious blood for you. The one who has reached out Christmas after Christmas after Christmas to be your Savior, and you still have no room for Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing? Room for business, room for pleasure, yes, but no room for Jesus Christ. I wonder, will you make room for Christ today? I wonder, will you realize your sinfulness? Will you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Boy, what an amazing Christmas this could be. What an amazing day this could be. If you were to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, I don't know whether it's a joke or fashion, all the Christmas jumpers you see people with, but you know, I'm not thinking so much about that sort of jumping, but I will wonder, as we come to the end of 2020, as we think of 2021, as we think of the year that we have had, will you make the jump here this afternoon? Will you jump at the opportunity and take Christ as your own and personal Savior before this year runs out? Don't let it end with you still a sinner on the way to a Christless hell. Will you embrace Christ by faith? Make him your Savior. Make him your Lord. And this will be the most amazing Christmas you will ever have. Some amazing things in this chapter. How amazing it would be if you were to find Christ here on the 20th of December 2020. Let's just bow in a moment's prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for the Word of God. We thank you for this season that reminds us that we have a wonderful Savior. And Lord, there are many here who are saved, and many who can sing these carols from the bottom of their heart. And oh, Heavenly Father, will you encourage the people of God? This has been a difficult year. Will you lift up their hearts and put that song in their souls again? But Lord, we're burdened here this afternoon for those who have still no room for Jesus. Lord, we do pray that they will indeed recognize their sinfulness and by faith put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved by his matchless grace and come to know this amazing Savior. For it's in and through his precious name we pray. Amen.